Morning, this is you, brown-eyed girl. It's pretty early this morning. It's about 7:12 today. I'm off today, so I wanted to get in a couple of my podcasts in for today and just kind of settle back for the rest of the day. But I was kind of excited getting up this morning because there was so much that I wanted to talk about. Obviously, the latest drama that's going on in the world, as we all know, the drama that is invoking our country. It's so interesting how everything is playing out. But it's kind of, when I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, well, yeah, you know, the way that everything is transpiring is, it was inevitable. You almost could, foresee it. What I'm talking about specifically is just in relation to the election and the inauguration and the storming of the Capitol. We couldn't foresee all of that, but all of the fallout is what we could see. We knew that there was going to be fallout. We just had no idea to what extent. I was watching the news earlier yesterday, and it just dawned on me. I remember having a conversation with my husband maybe a year and a half ago, actually. And because I was so overwhelmed at that time about how other human beings were unable to see this president for what he was, like we were, I was like, how is that possible? And then as time goes on, you get to see that that these individuals are well aware. It just becomes about power and money at that point. So we were surmising that, you know, constituents and lobbyists and donors and, you know, deep pockets are obviously must be playing a really huge part in how some of these senators and congressmen are all responding to this human being, this person who is obviously unhinged. And they're quite aware of it. Look past it because, you know, the money is good. The power is great. And that's the only thing that I could surmise. One person in particular, it amazes me how Lindsey Graham decides what side of the bed that he's rising on each day. I say that to be specific as to one minute, you know, he's Donald Trump is a nut job. Then later, he starts singing the man's praises, and we know then at that point, if you're Donald Trump, he's not an idiot when it comes to being able to buy people off. I 100% would be willing to bet that at some point, some things were thrown Lindsey Graham's way, and he immediately did a 180. And it seems to look like that it's, here's the deal. Lindsey, you cannot say one negative thing about me to anyone at any point. As a matter of fact, you need to go so far as defend me for whatever the issue is, because that's exactly what Lindsey started doing. It became very weird. There were some things that were so obvious and egregious that this president was doing, but Lindsey was still sing his praises. We thought, what is that about? I mean, then you use your common sense and you're like, oh, gotcha. You know, some hands were shaken and some deals were made under some tables and monies were probably thrown here and there and that type of thing. That's the only thing that makes sense. Lindsey was using common sense when Donald Trump was on the campaign trail initially for his first when he was on the campaign trail from the very beginning, and he talked about what a nut job he was, and he was using real live examples. Here, he can't even justify his support. And so that's when you know, okay, some things happened there. And I presume that that's happened with a lot of them. Nunes, Giuliani, some of the others that are just, it didn't matter what the man do, they hold on to his pant leg and he just drags them along, and or they'll stand there with their hands up in the air and he has to paddle and they're just like, yes, sir, give me another. It's the way that I perceive that. Anyway, I can rant about that all day. It's just so bizarre. But I think my initial goal for today's podcast was just to say that about a year and a half ago, I told my husband it looked as though there was this train that they all decided to get on for whatever reason. And this train is inevitably going to hit this really big brick wall, like a huge brick wall. And everyone who got on this train was pre-warned, right? Like we all told them, hey, this is not going to end well. You stay on this train is going to hit that wall, and all of you are going to perish from it. Like it's just not going to end well. You could tell in the beginning that they all thought that this is going to be one hell of a ride. Some said, yeah, but I'm not going to be a part of it. So some jumped off, right? You got your Paul Ryans, you got your, I think it was his name, Boehner, and some others along the way that we'll never know, jumped off that train because they saw it for what it was. And then there was some that was just like, well, I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off. Okay. And so it's hard to watch because you know that there were people saying on who's gotten off the train, give me your hand and I'll pull you off. You don't want this smoke. This is not going to be good. And some probably did that. There's some along the way who eventually jumped off, right? You got your Kelly Conways and you got your, what was the press secretary? Huckabee Sanders, who eventually got off. And yeah, they gave their weird stories about wanting to be with their family. We all know what the real deal was. But they did jump off, right? Because they saw the train getting ready to hit the wall. There are some who, like Matt Gaetz, who want to go all the way to the end and see if he what he can get along the way before smashing into that wall. And it's such a ridiculous state of mind that you must be in, knowing that inevitably there is going to be consequences for this journey that you guys have decided to take with this one human being, this human being who has no scruples at all, has no moral compass. If he has a moral compass, it is at the lowest level. And I think some people who I think a lot of people probably surprised themselves about how far they were willing to go and was all in. Jumped all the way in. Some have a couple feet out, right? Still trying to straddle the fence. Some of the people who straddle the fence irritate me more so than anything. It shows, right? You either support the man or you don't. He's that type of person. He doesn't do well with you kind of giving him your support. Either you don't, then you're his enemy. If you do, then he'll take you along the ride. But here's the deal. When it gets heavy, he won't know you. Giuliani, right? Like right now, he is literally left Giuliani out in the cold. This fool is now pissed off because Donald Trump is not, guess what, paying his bills. And Giuliani being one of the bills, he doesn't pay any bills to anyone. And he would use you until he no longer can use you anymore. I find it amazing that Giuliani thought, well, I'm his attorney. He cares about me. He'll make sure I get paid because he knows what I know. And that's what Giuliani's going to do. Mark my words, he's going to, he know where the bodies are buried, right? So he's going to threaten for the next couple of weeks. Donald Trump's attorneys are going to say, hey, come on, we don't want this drama. You already got this drama going on over here. They're impeaching you. There's some criminal stuff going on. There's some civil stuff going on. New York don't want you to one, they don't even want you to fly over their state. So you really don't want this drama with Giuliani because there's a lot that he knows. And Trump is so self-absorbed and so unattached to reality that he can't see it until it happens. He can't foresee or he doesn't care about what drama unfolds in the future until it actually happens. Then he goes into this psychotic mind and thinks of these ridiculous ways that he can resolve it. Stiffing Giuliani is probably one of the stupidest things that he could do, right along what he did to Cohen. Cohen showed you exactly what he was going to do when he stiffed him. And Cohen told them all. He said he told them. That's what's so ironic. When he got when he was getting ready to be convicted, he went before them and told them. He said, if you are supporting him, he said, you will pay for it later. I am a living witness. He told them to their faces. All of those conversations, all of those things are going to come back, you guys. And the next few months or so, you're going to see the news go back and get all these old videos and all these interviews and these conversations that were had, and they're going to be shown to the world. There's not going to be any empathy for any of these individuals because you were pre-warned over and over and over again. So it's just so ironic that they're still on that train. They're still on that train. There are some that are still holding on for dear life. I don't know if the promise, and I don't believe it's Donald Trump that's paying anybody off. Don't get me wrong. He's not that dude. Stormy is the only person he wrote a check to, and he did that begrudgingly. There are so many deep pockets around this world. We would be surprised at how many filthy, filthy rich people who would be willing in a second to write a check to anyone that Donald Trump said, oh, you know, he could make a phone call, I would presume, and there would be people willing to do that. People who have so much money, it's nothing for them at all to write that check. And I wholeheartedly believe that all of that fallout is going to come later, and a lot of people are going to pay the price for what they decided to do. I tell people all the time that, you know, reaping what you sow is so poignant right now, because you can reap what you sow. If you're doing good, then you get good back. You can reap what you sow when you do bad, and you will get bad back. It's just that clear. And I thank God that we all reap what we sow. Wouldn't it be a scary world to know that you can go around and do things and not have payback for that, or not be able to pay the cost for what you've done? That's scary. Thank God that that happens. And it's happening right now in real time. We are living this. We're living this right now in real time. We're going to look back on it in 5-10 years and be like, can you guys imagine that we lived through that? The new generation is going to be like, that's what y'all did? This is what y'all did? And we're going to have to sit back and be like, yeah, unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. What you saw there, and is comical as some of it that you see, but like, oh, that didn't happen. No, it really did. It really did. I guess I'm kind of torn too, because I actually can kind of see why Donald Trump became president. I can see why he became, and I can see why, quite frankly, now I can see why it was necessary. Which is weird for me to say, but I see why it was necessary he became president. I say that because had Hillary become president, it would have been business as usual, right? She would have still been trying to fight to get a lot of her laws passed, and the Republicans would have been fighting her tooth and nail, and we would have been rolling our eyes, and we wouldn't have cared. COVID may have been handled properly, obviously, if Hillary was president, but in regards to other bills that we want to have done when it comes to health care, when it comes to, you know, infrastructure, and in regards to our issues with the other countries, I just see that those things would definitely have been handled better, but it would have been business as usual. This particular person becoming president, whether he knew it or not, took the veil off of America, right? America knows that we had this coming for a long time. And had he not become president, we wouldn't have known. It's shocking to see some of the people who you would have never known was racist actually be racist. And even the ones who probably weren't racist found out that they really are, and they may not have known it. And that's weird to say, but you have to measure that on what it is that you were willing to follow him through. And they were willing to follow him through to hell and back, whether it was good for the country or not. He literally got nothing done in 4 years. Nothing. He had the nerve to take a trip, I guess, a couple days ago down to the wall, because I guess he wanted to go down and see what was done with that. Nothing. Yeah. All of that, build the walls, a beautiful wall, a great wall, all of that did not happen. Making all these amazing deals that he was going to do, that didn't happen. Getting better health care, that didn't happen. He just destroyed the one that Obama created, or if he really didn't create it, or he sent in the legislation for it and had it become a bill. They perfected it. And I find it interesting that they made that such a big deal, because all Obama said was he feels that everyone, even those who do not support him, deserve health care. That's what the Affordable Care Act is. It's saying that every American should have health care. That's all. And if you and I can afford to pay a few dollars more so that your neighbor down the street, that older lady who taught school for 30, 40 years, who's now retired, or that family who can barely make it, they can have health care. And all you and I can do, who can afford it, pay a few extra dollars more to do that. Why not do that? Why? Other countries do it, and that's why they have the type of health care that they have. Some don't even pay anything in health care. This country is so greedy. It is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. We are protecting insurance companies who overcharge us. We, like right now, we pay a health care premium, and there are months or years we don't even go see a doctor. Can I get that money back? I didn't use the services, right? You wanted me to pay this money in case I used the service. Okay, I didn't use it. Can I get my money back? That would be a no. Okay, so where did my money go? To the insurance companies. There are people who are making gazillion dollars off of you and I every day because the system was set up that way. We're all following rules that were set up by another human being, and they have gone on and they've redone and reused these quote unquote laws and regulations, and we've followed suit. So had this man not become president, we wouldn't have really dissected everything. Because let me tell you something, right now, everything's being dissected. Right. When I'm on some of these social media sites, I see these young people, which I just love to death, now say, well, why do we do that? See, my generation, we did it because they told us we had to. We were told that you got to go to high school, then you go to college, then you graduate college, then you get a spouse, then you have two kids. You buy a house, then you have two kids, and then you live life, and then you die. This generation is like, yeah, nah, we ain't doing that. There are young people out here who are millionaires because it's being able to perfect something that they love to do. So me telling this young person, oh, you got to go to college. Really? I've already made $2 million by sitting at home on a computer. So that doesn't apply to them. So they're asking the questions. They want to know, well, why is this? Why is that? I love to hear this new generation ask the questions that we weren't able to ask. And I'm right along with them. Yeah, why is that? That's why now him becoming president in this time was so perfect. These two met at the same time they needed to meet. The generation's ready to ask the questions. We're ready to make the changes. I think this new generation will 100% change the Constitution as time goes on. I believe 100% needs to be changed. Let's agree that it needs to be changed, obviously. And in the years to come, it will. And I hope that I live to see that. I think this new generation is going to change the game. I love how inquisitive they are. I love how they use real-time common sense. I love how they are saying, well, that doesn't apply anymore, right? Those rules that you're talking about don't apply because the times have changed. Times have changed. So there's no reason for that particular law or regulation. So I'm looking forward to the changes that are going to happen soon. And it's going to be an interesting ride. And I can't wait for our next president, who he or she may be. I want them to be a younger person. I really do, because I think a younger person will obviously move in a different direction than what's been done in the past, because it is time for change. And I now see why this person was president of the United States. It needed to happen. We're no longer going to have to deal with them, but it was necessary. So that's all I have. I just needed to get on my soapbox and get that rant out. I actually now feel better. And I will be doing probably another podcast later on this evening. Talk to you later. Bye.